Good morning once again. How many of you really enjoy people telling you what to do? Okay, we got one in the front. Do we have another? Okay. I think as parents, there's many parents here, I'm sure, and you try to help your kids know what to do and what not to do. At least hopefully you've directed their path and guided their path. And I know my parents at different points in my journey had to support my foibles and my journey, right? I got married about 5 years ago, and now my wife helps me navigate some of those things as well. She's the beautiful redhead that was sitting on that chair as you guys walked in. Just want to be consistent and do that every time I get up front. She loves me. I don't think she's in here right now, so... One of my favorite things about Scripture is that it does it to me. Now, it's my favorite thing when I'm ready for it and I'm willing to accept it. There's other times when I open God's Word and it speaks to me and I'm just like, there's a part of me, the selfish, self-centered part of me that is fighting back at the truth that I hear in God's Word, that sometimes I'm just like, don't want to hear that right now. I just want to do my thing. So a long, long time ago, Jesus and his disciples were preparing for the Passover. The Passover, they'd met yearly to get together during this time. They're all Jews, and that's what they did. That's what they did this time of year. As they were growing up as young men, their fathers would educate them on the significance of the Passover and what they were remembering from long ago in their history. And the disciples were very much like you and I are. You and I, on a daily basis, we tend to be self-centered, self-focused. Maybe there's a few people here that aren't, that you are in a different place, but I would guess that if the mirror of God's Word and the true picture of your heart were to show up, you would be very much like the disciples. Jesus sat down there at the table in the upper room, and the disciples are all sitting around, and they're still stuck on who's the greatest. Now, there at the table, two individuals got to sit to Jesus' left and Jesus' right. And maybe at that moment they felt like they were in the right place. But Jesus knew their hearts. He knew that they were not ready for the moments to come, not just that evening, what he wanted to talk to them about, but also the next day, that the next hours that they were to experience some very hard and challenging times. And so instead of Jesus looking at his disciples and saying, get your heart in the right place. Hey, you get your heart in the right place. Hey. Jesus, I love how he does this. Sometimes he tells stories. Sometimes he calls people out on stuff that is a legitimate option. But in this particular time, what Jesus did is he took his outer garment off. He went over to this basin of water. It's interesting, as I was reading this week in John, that it was they were in the middle of their eating and their time together there in the upper room. So the disciples had plenty of time to take the opportunity to grab that basin, to grab that towel, and to be the disciple and wash Jesus' feet and others' feet. But again, like I said, their hearts were not in the right place. And so what Jesus did is he grabs... Go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John, John chapter 13. And here in John chapter 13 is the only gospel that shares this little piece of what Seventh-day Adventists incorporate in part of our communion Sabbath. If you look at verse 3 of chapter 13 in the book of John, it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. So Jesus had a clear picture of who he was. He had a clear picture of where he stood in relation to his disciples. And if it was if you and I had to draw like a little hierarchical pyramid, Jesus would have been at the pinnacle top, right? But Jesus totally took that pyramid that you and I like to draw in our minds. So, hi, I'm Ryan. I'm a pastor. Where do I go? Thank you, the top. That's what we do. But what Jesus did, and Jesus was legitimately at the top. Jesus, God in human flesh, at the very top, took that pyramid and totally went. Took off his garments. He knelt down at the disciples' feet and he started washing their feet, one by one. And these gentlemen wearing sandals at that time needed their feet to be washed. I don't know if you've ever tried to go to bed with dirty feet. It's good to wash your feet. But when he got to Peter, Peter's like, oh, Jesus, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus says to him, if you do not have me wash your feet, you have no part with me. And he's like, well, then my head, my hands, like, and he's like, no, like, just your feet. But what Jesus was getting to is that he didn't want to just wash the physical feet. This was a representation of what God, what he wants to do in your life and in my life. He wants to wash away the sinfulness of our lives. Amen. And when Jesus finished, when he concluded the foot washing of his disciples, when he had humbled himself, this is the top of the pyramid, stepping down, showing his disciples what he was all about, giving them an example, the disciples' hearts were changed. They totally were in a different place. So I think in my journey, growing up in a similar church as this, I sat down with my parents and they washed my feet and I washed their feet. But it's an opportunity for us to do a little heart check, to do a little heart surrender to our Savior and our King, to let God not only humble you and as you kneel in front of a person to wash their feet, but that you also get to let Jesus wash the crud out of your life. If you've come today and there's something that might hold you back from participating in communion, you say, oh, I've done that or I've done this, let it go. Let Jesus wash that out of your life. And then step forward. As Seventh-day Adventists, we participate or we observe open communion, which means if you are committed to Jesus Christ, if you want to say, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior, please participate with us today. As a Seventh-day Adventist community, we do something prior to taking the emblems of the grape juice and the bread. We do foot washing. And it's because of what it says, if you're still open to John chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. It says, Jesus, talking to his disciples, says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to split into a few different rooms. And we're going to wash each other's feet. And if you choose to participate, yes, wash each other's feet. But also reflect and remember that Jesus wants to wash away the sin in your life today. So there's three different locations that you can wash your feet today. If you are a family or a couple, we'd invite you to go down, go out the doors here, and then go down this wing into the fellowship hall, where couples and families can break into your couples in your families and wash each other's feet. If you are, if you'd be comfortable with just the ladies, we would encourage you to go out the doors and go to the left and go to the first room on your right, which is our fireside room, and go in there. And if you don't have a partner, look for someone around there. If you have a partner and you see someone wander in that doesn't have one, feel free to ask them to join you. The ladies can go there. And if there are gentlemen here today, we would ask that you go out the doors here and go to the first room to your left. And there's our boardroom here. We'll have the gentlemen that can do foot washing in there. If today foot washing isn't going to work for you, or you're not uncomfortable doing that for whatever reason, feel free just to stay here in the worship center. There'll be music playing softly. And just reflect. You can open up to John chapter 13. Reflect on the meaning and the purpose of why we're doing this. It's not the physical act that cleanses your sins. It's Jesus washing you with his grace, his love, and the sacrifice that we're going to talk about when we come to take the bread and the grape juice. So this time I want to say a word of prayer for us all, and then I would encourage you to break up. If there's any questions, I'll be down here at the front. Feel free to come and say hi. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for you, our perfect example. Thank you for long ago showing us how things should be, how things are in your kingdom. Lord, as we participate today, may you humble our hearts. May we move from where we are to where the disciples were, a humble place that is willing to accept what you have to tell us. Speak to our hearts today, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, how'd it go? Sometimes we can do things out of habits. We just do them. It's what we do. Oftentimes we recognize the things that we do poorly that we have habits on because we continue to do them, and you keep asking God to forgive you about them. And I believe God wants to give us victory on those things. I believe we are here as a church at the Adams Community Church believe that God wants to give us victory in the areas that we struggle in. That as we go to Christ, he wants to wash us of those things and strengthen us to move forward in a better way than before. Amen. Some things that we do as habits or as we do as a congregation that are good, we sometimes miss the purpose or the reason or the heart behind it. And I think that communion is one of those things. Communion can be one of those things that you do on a quarterly basis. We try to do that on a quarterly basis as a local church. And sometimes we get our grape juice and we get our bread and we eat our bread and we drink our grape juice and we don't think about it in a deeper way. And that's one of the reasons why as a congregation, as leaders here at the church, we try to let you know that it's coming. So I believe last week we would have put that a communion was going to be happening this Sabbath. Just like the Passover and it coming to an end when Jesus died on the cross because he was that lamb that was slain for our sins, Jesus instituted this communion service so that you and I could remember. What are we remembering? We're remembering the sacrifice that Jesus gave for you and for me. The bread having the significance of representing Jesus' body that was broken for you and for me. The grape juice representing Jesus' blood. The blood that was spilt for you and for me. And at different points in my journey, I think it's been my habit But I want, it's my desire for me, that this be a time when I go deeper in my understanding of what it took for Jesus to do this. I've heard that I've heard people say that, well, Jesus, you know, he was God. He knew what was going to happen, that he was going, even he told us that he was going to rise 3 days later. But where Jesus was when he went to the cross, the amount of pressure that was on him and the struggle that he went through for you and for me, if I was Jesus, being the selfish individual that I am, and having the power that Jesus had, I'm not sure I would have even gotten to the cross where they would have nailed me on that tree. But Jesus was willing to take a whip on his back, to be spit at, to be beaten, to have a crown of thorns pushed on his head, and then to have nails put in his arms, in his hands, and in his feet, to be humiliated and to give up his life for you and for me. And I recognize that for me, I need to spend more time coming to grips with what that means. And as a congregation, we need to keep that in front of us, to remember why we have life today, why we have life tomorrow, and why we have a hope in a life for eternity because of the sacrifice that Jesus gave for you and for me. At this time, I want to have our elder, Craig. He's going to say a prayer over our emblems, and then we are going to hand these out, where we get to partake in this communion service that Jesus instituted long ago so that we could remember. We could remember the sacrifice that Jesus gave for you and for me. Craig?
Let's bow our heads. Lord, we're grateful to have a beautiful Sabbath to come together and to worship, and most importantly today, to remember. And I pray that as our minds are turned to these emblems, that you will help us to take a look at our commitment. We thank you again, Lord, that we have been admonished to spend an hour a day remembering what you have done for us all. And as we, again, come together and worship you on this particular Sabbath, may that commitment be renewed. And we thank you again for your presence here today with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This time I'd invite the deacons to come forward. Again, the Seventh-day Adventist Church practices open communion. So if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you recognize that he's died for you, please participate with us. He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your Son. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for the love that brought you here and the love that will bring you back soon to take us home with you forever. May we, not just four times a year, but may we remember your sacrifice constantly. May it direct who we are and what we do. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. Amen.